I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Friday, January 22nd, and we are mere days, hours away from two of the final three NFL games of the season. It's conference championship weekend. Very exciting, of course. And we will be doing our pick show right now to break it all down. You can watch this pick show live leading up to the Super Bowl, if you're not catching it right now, twitch.tv/CBS Sports HQ. It's Thursday, January 21st, if you're watching it, streaming it. That's when we record it. We're on youtube.com/pick6. All our episodes are live there. We do live emergency podcasts when coaches are hired, or if when Philip Rivers retires, when Drew Brees retires, if you want to see us, you can do that. And anytime you want to dive on and, hang out, like after the fourth quarter of the Chiefs Bills game, the whole fourth quarter we'll live stream. Me and John Breach will watch it and react to it, sweat through some bets, and then we'll record our podcast live. So make sure and check it out. Picks and props for the conference championship games coming up. Also bowl predictions, Nick Sirianni to the Eagles emergency podcasts are in the feed. So make sure and check that out. Joining me now to make picks for the championship games, Pete Prisco, RJ White, and Kenny White. What's up, guys?
What is up?
Hello.
Feeling good?
Pete? Four teams left. That's it.
It's crazy.
Where'd the season go?
Fast?
Did it go fast? It always goes fast, right?
It always goes fast. How about you, Kenny?
Yeah, it flew by. I'm amazed. I feel like this was the fastest season ever. It just, from start to finish, it was done.
So we're going to get all the games in at this point. Like we're not, I cannot see the NFL is going to get.
You just mushed it.
We got to push it back a month. They'll push it back a month. I mean, what are they going to do?
Mushed it like you mushed the picks on this show. You mushed it.
So it's not going to be the XFL where they stop in the middle of the season. We just have to name a champion instead of play for it.
By the way, let me just, reiterate what I say every week. All our picks are there. I see Kenny's. I see RJ's. Mine are there. And then there's a blank next to Will Brinson's picks on the rundown for the show.
We just do it. We like to make sure that you actually read the rundown.
I like to make sure one time. Would you put him in one time just once? RJ, can you try? Can you get him at least to try?
Yeah, I've worked with Will for years. I'm done trying. I move positions so I don't have to deal with him anymore.
Yeah, RJ's not dumb enough to try to do that. I got too much.
Kenny's got 90 billion numbers and data and actual real bets he's making on a daily basis with NBA and NFL and his NHL and everything else, and his are in there.
Well, some of us are busy making sure our internet doesn't suck. and also dealing with my 7-year-old child who's in school right now. That's fine. Whatever. We'll get to the picks. All of my picks are going to be in there by the time that we start actually giving out the picks. There's only two games to analyze, so that's exciting. We will, of course, do it. We'll split it up. We'll do the NFC first, then the AFC after the break. Got to point out that we didn't have a great divisional round, guys. The system works like this. You get $100 each of the first three rounds of the playoffs. You spend it however you want. Player prop, TD props, whatever it is, you can spend it. But then we reset each week. So if you're down $50 for the first week of the playoffs, you're down $50 on the overall standings. If you're up $50, you're up $50, et cetera. So if you're down $50 the first week and then up $50 in the second week, you're at net zero, which would be a great place to be right now because you'd be leading this contest going into championship weekend. Kenny was our divisional round leader and he lost $22. So that's great. Lost a fifth of his budgeted money and, only down two units, I guess. RJ down 27. I was down 42 and Pete was down $61, which means our standings heading into the NFC and AFC championship rounds. RJ, our leader in the clubhouse, negative $31. We're really taking a real crap on our incredible best bets record from the regular season when everyone was 500 or better. I'm negative $54 in second place. Pete in third place, a dollar ahead of Kenny at negative $82 and Kenny negative $83.
Yeah, we all got screwed by that teaser though. I mean, I'll remind people, we talked about the obvious teaser was Packers and Ravens and three of us were on it for big money. You know, I know Kenny and I would have been up a pretty decent amount on the week if we'd have hit that teaser. And that was not a 17-3 game like we were talking about before we went live. It was a close game all the way and you get a 101-yard pick six. So what are you going to do in that point? I feel like we cash that teaser most of the time.
Do you want to know why it lost?
Because it was obvious.
Yeah, I know why it lost.
Because Lamar Jackson couldn't read the guy just standing there in the middle of the field waiting for him to throw it. Is that why?
No, it lost because I bet it in real life.
Oh my God.
Oh, you mushed it. There he goes. Mickey Mush at it again.
I didn't have it on the podcast, but I bet it in real life. That's why it lost. I mushed you all.
You're the worst.
At the expense of my own, you know. I earn money. Anyway.
And by the way, I will put an asterisk next to the Chiefs because the Chiefs were covering that game if Mahomes doesn't go out. Sorry.
Well, the Ravens would have won the teaser if Lamar didn't go out.
Maybe. I mean, I had the Ravens as a pick. I thought they would cover that number anyways, but the Chiefs win that game and that game goes way over the total if he stays in the game.
All I needed was Drew Brees to go down the field and get up. Gimme touchdown, you know, meaningless touchdown. Couldn't get Drew Brees to go down the field and score.
Or Jared Cook not to fumble and Drew Brees not to miss an easy pass.
Right.
Or, look, that's football. You know, like, you show up and make mistakes and the ball bounces funny ways and you get a 100-yard pick six. Without that 100-yard pick six, the Ravens probably cover that teaser. Ravens might win the game with the 100-yard pick six. I mean, football's weird like that, man. Divisional round, the favorites went 2-2 against the spread. The unders went 3-1. Home teams 2-2 against the spread. And so far in the playoffs, favorites 4-6 against the spread and even 5-5 record for over unders. Home teams 4-6 against the spread. So let's get to the picks. And obviously within the context of the picks, we'll make analysis of the football games. Just two of them this week. So feel free to go a little deeper. You do not have to rush to get your analysis in. And Pete, as the resident Packers homer, the guy who is on the it's impossible, borderline impossible for Pete not to have a win here in terms of a Super Bowl matchup because really the only guy who could completely screw you is Tom Brady. But even then you'd have Josh Allen or your pick of the Chiefs, your preseason pick. So you had Chiefs Packers before the season.
Correct. I did. And,
you'll be unbearable, obnoxious, more so.
No. I do think that this Packers team is special. I mean, when you go for 440 they went against the Rams. I mean, that's the number one defense in the league and they did whatever they wanted to going up and down the field on them. So, I think that's going to be at play here. Tampa Bay's defense was outstanding last week. I thought the secondary, by the way, before the season, I said that was going to be the defining unit for the Bucs defense and that team. We knew Brady was going to score points. We knew the pass rush was going to be good, but the young guys are growing up. They played great last week, but they don't run, the Saints. Nobody can run. Nobody scares you down the field. And it's a different animal here. You know, Adam scares you. Valdez-Scantling can run and he's made some plays in, you know, last week. So, I think that's going to be the difference in this game. I think Rodgers is going to have his way with them. I think they'll protect them well, and I think he's going to be able to hit shots down the field. And on the other side, the interior rush, the Bucs' offensive line has been phenomenal in the two playoff games, by the way. Outstanding. But I think they're going to be able to single up some situations where Zadarius guys get some interior pressure on Brady, and he hates interior pressure, as does every quarterback. So my lean is to the Packers in this one. I think the Packers are the better team, and I think that will show up in this one. So for this game, I have a couple of different situations that I'm playing here. I like the Packers for $20 of my 100. And I got a teaser with the Packers, as well for $20. And I have a parlay for $10. I got to get back in the game, guys. I got a $10 three team parlay, in this one too as well. So, I do like the Packers.
You should be throwing out, you know, long shot first touchdown props if you want to get back in the game.
Well, that parlay will get me, but you guys won't have great weeks either. So based on our track record,
our picks are lining up. So, I mean, maybe we do. I got the Packers -3. It's at -125. So I'm betting 25 to win 20. Tampa took advantage of turnovers last week. They scored 30 points. They only had 316 yards of offense because they just kept on getting set up. All three of their touchdown drives were under 50 yards. They started on the other side of the field. And Green Bay's offense has the best turnover rate in the league. They're not going to give you those free turnovers. Rodgers has just 5 interceptions all year. Green Bay's offense also number 1 in points per drive, percentage of drives to end on a score, and red zone success rate. Those are stats I keep on citing with them to say that their offense is going to be good no matter who they play, and it worked out last week. I think it's going to keep working out. I can't expect Tampa Bay's defense to have the same success they did in that week 6 matchup, which was, you know, throw it out the window. It was so, you know, aberrant about what the Packers usually do that I don't think you can translate that over into this game. Green Bay's defense is actually a key to this game too. They've now held 5 of their last 6 opponents to less than 18 points, and they're better defending the pass. So I think you can exploit them if you can run a little bit. And, Tampa obviously is going to be throwing the ball more than they run with Brady. So I actually have Green Bay 3 points better on a neutral. So if this was neutral field, I would take Green Bay. I would say this is a good line. I give them 3 for playoff home game in that weather. It's not going to be as many fans as usual, but weather, Tampa's got to go up, you know, to Green Bay and play. Tom didn't look great in January the last few years. So yeah, I'm going to go Green Bay -3. I like that one as one of my bets. Then I'll also take the over 22 to win 20 on -110. Might be snow, but without the wind, it's not going to slow down that offense. Green Bay scored 32 points with 484 yards versus that top defense last week. Green Bay has now scored 30 points in 7 of their last 8, 24 plus in the last 10 games. Tampa scored 30 points in their last 5 and 24 plus in their last 9 games. So this seems like a baseline of 48. You only need an extra field goal to get to the 51 that we need here. So I like this game to go over as well. And then I got a couple, you know, minor prop bets that we can talk about here in a little bit.
Yeah, I like that. I only came with Green Bay in the game -3, but I do lean to the over in the game. But you know what? I said I'm not going to fool around. I'm going to go right for the best play that I think, and I think it's the Packers. And Marjay, I'm kind of in the same boat with you. I have the Packers 2.5 points better than Tampa. So that home field, how much is it worth? I think, you know, during a normal season with a full crowd, it's worth 3.5 points. How many did I want to give? I didn't know really how many to give in this game. I thought maybe 1.5, 2 points. So, you know, I think making the game 4, 4.5 is the right number in the game. So not a lot of edge. And then, you know, friend says, well, what about the revenge factor? You know, I like revenge factor, and what I I've gone over the years and crunched the numbers on, and when a team loses a game and they play the next time, the site changes and where that happens and what really means something. So they won in Tampa. So just because Tampa won that game, most of the time when a team wins and beats somebody, they get overconfident the next game and they're maybe not as focused, and the team that lost is going to be extra focused. Well, in this game, Tampa's going to be just as focused. They're not going to take Green Bay lightly because they beat them. They're going to come and play their A game, and Green Bay is going to play their A game. So there's no real added advantage I can add to the spread for that. So the only thing I could add to the spread is just going back to Aaron Rodgers. 64% covers in Lambeau in his career. He just covers. Not only wins, he covers, and that's what great quarterbacks do. And Brady's got a great ATS record too, but this is in Lambeau. This is Aaron Rodgers' house. I think he wins the game.
Now let's go to the guy. Wait, let's get to Brinson. Now the guy who said that the Packers were going to be the team, he picked them as the team that would regress in the NFL this year.
I've owned that many weeks.
I sent it to you again last week, though, on our text, Jay, just to remind you.
He couldn't wait for me to finish. He didn't even hear what I said. He just said, wait till Kenny finishes, and I'm going to really hammer Brinson here.
Look, dead wrong about the Packers. And I'll explain. I mean, I'll tell you why I thought they would regress, is that they had won a lot of one-score games. Aaron Rodgers didn't look awesome last year. I think we can all agree that he was not fantastic last year or in the last couple of years. Now, what I made the mistake was on the Packers specifically is that, and this is why it really bugs me, because it was a mistake in my process, is that I ignored what I was saying, which is that, and this actually popped in my head at one point in the preseason. I was like, yeah, whatever. But like, I thought the teams that had consistency at offensive line, head coach and quarterback and offensive coordinator too would thrive in the COVID offseason because they had, you have limited reps. You would have more continuity there. You would have to worry about less about adjusting, and that fits the Packers to a T. And I ignored that, and at the expense of Aaron Rodgers not looking great in the first year of a system and the Packers winning a bunch of games by one score. And in hindsight, that was incredibly stupid.
Well, how do you explain the Bucks then?
Well, I mean, I think they were the fifth seed.
But you just went, you said quarterback and continuity with the offensive line and the quarterback and it's a whole new system.
When I was saying that leading into the season, I said that I think there are a couple teams that can buck the trend, the Colts and the Bucks. No, literally no pun intended. If only because you have quarterbacks who are so, talented that and such veterans that they can come in and they can make it work right away. I thought people like the Cowboys and I didn't listen to myself. Like I thought the Cowboys would struggle because they had a quarterback with some stuff going on off the field, dealing with offensive line turnover and a brand new system and a limited.
They got hurt.
I know that, but they weren't good before he got hurt. My point being is I'm trying to explain to you why I was wrong.
And we're shooting down every one of your explanations.
I mean, not really. I mean, I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job of explaining why I got it wrong. Look, the Packers are great. Rodgers. I don't buy anybody that says he wasn't motivated by the Jordan Love pick. All we heard about for 15 years there in Rodgers or 10 years is how he gets a chip on his shoulder for the smallest stuff. Oh, got passed up in the draft. Chip on his shoulder. Guy has a chip on his shoulder. There's always a chip on his shoulder. And then they draft a quarterback in the first round after signing to an extension. He doesn't have a chip on his shoulder. Of course he does. He said he was mad about it. Do I think that's everything? No. The second year in Matt LaFleur's system, he's learned to make plays inside the system. He cut down on a bunch of the stuff he does that's freelancing unless he needs to as a secondary option. Davante Adams elevated himself into the best wide receiver in football. And the defense has made, look, credit to you, Pete. You said that multiple players in the defense would step up and be better, including Rashawn Gary and Jair Alexander. You nailed their leaps, almost perfectly in terms of how you thought they would play out. So yeah, I was wrong on the Packers. Packers are great, and I think the Packers are going to roll the Bucks here. I don't think it's a good matchup for Tampa Bay. I know they beat Green Bay earlier in the season, but Green Bay was about to stomp them. Like they were getting ready to stomp them. It was 10-0, and it was like, oh, this is over. Tampa Bay is in trouble. And then Rodgers threw two of his four picks on the season in this of like 3 minutes, including a pick six, which he just doesn't do.
And then the one pick went off of Adams' hands.
Well, he and Adams had just come back from injury. Like I heard Dan Orlovsky talking about, he's like, are you going to want to watch Carlton Davis and Davante Adams in man coverage? Yeah. I'm telling you, it's like, are you nuts? Carlton Davis is a dead man walking this time around. He got him last time because Davante Adams is coming off injury. He and Rodgers didn't have the rapport. They are.
And remember, and it's crazy. Lazard was banged up and Valdez, they weren't in any rhythm there. And that pick six, you're right. The pick six changed the entire flow of the game. That was and then they went on a, what was it? 28-10 at the half.
Yeah. And the Packers gave up. Here's the other thing. Tampa Bay has not been a very good team early in games for much of the season. It's because Bruce Arians is a stubborn old man and he's a great football coach, but he's stubborn as hell. He wants to run the ball early, and he doesn't start to really wing it around until his team is trailing. The Packers are one of the best teams early in games because Matt LaFleur scripts things out really well, and Rodgers is dialed in. And I think we see a situation where the Packers get up early here, and the Buccaneers are forced to throw the ball. So I think that results in the overhitting, but I think it results in the Packers covering too because they're going to get a lead. I think they'll keep throwing the ball. Matt LaFleur was on the staff that lost to Tom Brady. 28-3 game in Atlanta, in Houston in that Super Bowl. I don't think he'll want to have a comeback against him. So I think they keep throwing. I'm going to take in this game for my bets. Packers first quarter minus a half for $10. I'm going to take the Packers minus 3 for $20. and I'm going to take the Packers team total over 27.5 for $20 as my main bets. Any thoughts on those?
You're getting plus money on that first quarter bet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Will, one thing you said that I don't necessarily agree with about running the football for the Bucs. I think we saw against New Orleans in the last meeting, not this playoff game meeting, that they run the ball at all. And you saw what happened to Brady. He got just maimed. But this week they ran the ball and it helped the offensive line and it made it easier on him to make his throws. I think they need to actually run the ball in this game.
Sure.
I think Fournette and Jones have to be factors in this game because that's what Green Bay is. They're a get ahead lead and then take you out of what you want to do and turn their edge rushers against you in a bunch of different schemes and ways to attack him. So I think running the ball is imperative for the Bucs in this game.
I don't disagree with that. I think it does play into the first quarter, into the Packers possibly getting a lead. Now,
yeah, I agree with that because the Packers, then they scored 12 times in their first possession in the regular season, which is the most in the league. So I agree with you. I think and the Bucs have been slow starters.
And I think this game is also a really good live betting opportunity to take the over live because if you look at the sort of the possessions, I talked about this. I was on the Deep Dive podcast with Andy and Drew, on Wednesday night and we talked about this, but like the Packers are going to have probably some methodical drives, the scripted drives where they're running these plays that they've planned out ahead of time. They're going to get down there, probably get some points. Maybe it's 10-0 or 10-3. At the end of the first quarter, whatever it is, I think you're going to see that total, especially if it's snowing, kind of drop down. But I think as this game goes along and the Bucs are forced to pass more, you could really see some scoring back and forth and we could end up being a shootout.
What's the weather forecast? It's for snow flurries, but it's not going to be windy, right?
No wind.
Correct. No wind.
That plays into the hands of the offense in that scenario. Yeah. Slick field, better for the offense. Yep. Pass rushers can't get their traction. Defensive backs don't have as much, ability to plant and go. So I think it's, if there's no wind, it's a big advantage for the.
It's a 340 kick, 340 kick. Is that right?
305, I think.
305. So we're looking at almost no wind. Actually looks like the we won't have any snow as of right now. The snow will be in the morning.
Yep.
And about 28 degrees throughout the course of the game.
It's actually not that bad for that time of the year in Green Bay. As someone who was there the last time they played a championship game in Green Bay, that day was the coldest day of my entire life. That was what? Isn't that the last championship game in Green Bay was when they lost to the Giants? Yeah.
That wasn't
that day.
The 2011?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
No, this was a divisional round, 2011.
No, they went and beat him to go to the Super Bowl. The Coughlin game when cheeks were all red.
I thought that was,
He turned the ball when Favre turned the ball over in overtime and they won in overtime.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
And that game was so cold. The hotel was about a mile and a half, not a mile, not even a mile, but about half a mile away from the parking lot, not even the parking lot, from the entrance. So you had to walk through the parking lot and they had shuttles to the game and I missed it. And so I said, okay, I'll just walk over. And I was bundled up. I took four steps outside the front door and turned around back inside and found the kid. I paid him $20 to drive me that half mile in the parking lot and they were tailgating. They were tailgating. There's something wrong with people. So you stand outside in 25 degree below weather. What were they doing?
I just looked it up. The weather that day. Sorry, I was getting confused with the 2011 Giants when they beat him. Because Rodgers, this is the first time he's ever hosted the championship game. But the weather in 2007, and that kickoff was at 6:40, -1 degrees, cool. Wind 12 miles an hour, wind chill. Got it down to -23.
It was by far and away the coldest I've ever been in my life. It was miserable.
RJ,
it was cold last year in Kansas City for the championship game.
Yeah, that's how
not that kind of cold.
That's how you got memed onto
the night.
That was the week before. That was the week before, though. Actually,
RJ, do you have any concerns about Tampa's travel schedule here?
I had concerns last week and didn't pay off, you know, because of those turnovers. I think that was more a product of New Orleans offense just not looking good. But yeah, I mean, five road games now in 6 weeks. You got to think that they're going to have to run out of gas at some point. The good news for them, though, is if they can get through this week and then get the win, they don't have to travel next week because 2 weeks from now, because they get to play the Super Bowl at home. So maybe that's the light at the end of the tunnel for them. Going off the wind factor, the weather factor, we said it could be a healthy offense because it's not actually going to be windy. My other bet for this game that I'm actually putting a bet on is you can go in the future section of William Hill and take either the highest or lowest scoring team on the weekend. For the four teams that are still alive. And I like Green Bay to be the highest scoring team on Sunday at +210. I know the total is lower in this game than it is the other game, but I just think that Green Bay has the higher scoring potential considering what they've done on the year. So I think it should be higher than the Buffalo Kansas City total. That's why I took the over on the Green Bay game. So I think there's plenty of value here. +210, 20 to win 42.
Kenny, what are you seeing? Like, I mean, you're out there in Vegas. You got your ear to the ground of the casino floor. Where's the smart money coming in? Have you seen anything that surprised you? Or I feel like the Packers have to be the public team in this game.
Yeah, they are. Right now, 63% of the wagers are on the Packers. The line was 4 when it came out, 4. The professionals jumped on the +4 and the +3.5. I took 4 myself the first day when it came out because I thought that's too high. I don't think that's where it's going to end up. I thought it would gravitate to 3 and was lucky that I was right. So I'll just have more on Green Bay and I'll hope the game now I'll have a bigger bet on the game and hope it can fall 3 or 4 and be a nice payoff. I'd talk about the other one next, but yeah, it's all Green Bay. It really is right now, but, that's not that high of a percentage, 63%. Right. You know, it's not that bad. There's still a lot of Tampa Bay backers +3. But it has shifted up just a little bit. I'm seeing more 3.5s back in the market now, though.
Yeah, I think,
Kenny, Will was trying to figure out what kind of inside information you're getting when you're hanging out at the bottle clubs at all those, high-end casinos.
They know nothing. They know absolutely nothing.
Yeah, right. I guess Vegas is kind of open. Although I did see that, the Vegas, they're saying no Super Bowl parties at casinos this year. Which is kind of crazy.
Nope. No parties. Can't have them. Can't have groups of more than, I think more than 10.
At the casinos, really?
Well, just at anywhere, like in a restaurant. You can't call for a reservation right now and for a party of 10. Can't do it. I think 8 is the most people, but you have to sit at 2 different tables.
Yep. We're not all Florida. I got a couple of thoughts here. First of all, I'm going to keep riding this streak that I've been on with Devontae Adams' first touchdown. As I mentioned, the Packers like to script out their plays early on. Devontae Adams is probably the top red zone target in the NFL this year. They use him in short yardage. Rodgers runs sometimes. We saw the motion that Matt LaFleur had last week where they got him across the formation and then a quick, easy dump off. I know Tampa Bay has really good linebackers, and some good corners as well, but I just think it's so hard to, Adams is so fast and so athletic with his size that it's difficult to cover him even in those spots. And they'll post him up too sometimes. I think they can do that against these corners. He's +550. He's the lowest number out there, but it's still too low. It needs to be like +250 for how often he scores. So I'll put $10 of my 100 on Devontae Adams at +550, 10 to win 55. And I'm also going to take Aaron Rodgers over pass touchdowns, which at William Hill right now is +150. I'm going to put $10 on that. So he's got to throw 3 passing touchdowns. That's a lot. But my bets are all sort of correlated here with the Packers scoring early, Packers team total going over. And I think when you look at the Bucks, the strength of their defense is the interior. And Vita Vea possibly coming back here, it's only going to be better against the run. And so I think they will let Rodgers throw more often. We could see a couple of deep shots, particularly if, you know, you get somebody slipping on the tundra. It's heated tundra, but still. Maybe we get a little action there. Any other bets or insight into this game?
Yeah, the player props came out, you know, about, I think, half an hour before we started recording. So I had already done all my homework and assigned all my money. So I can't put any money on these, but I like the Leonard Fournette over 22.5 receiving yards. He's top 30 receiving yards in 3 of his last 4 and they played from ahead mostly. So I think if they're playing from behind, there should be more targets for him. He looked pretty effective, last week, even with Ronald Jones back. And Green Bay's allowed the 3rd most receiving yards to running backs on the year in the regular season. So it seems like a good matchup. Seems like the number 22.5 is too low. I think it's going to go up. as we get closer to Sunday. So I would get on it early because I just think it's going to bump up at least a few yards, if not even 5 yards.
All right. Any other thoughts on that? If not, forever hold your peace. I said, we're all on the Packers here, right?
Correct.
Yes, sir.
So, congrats to the Bucks for making the Super Bowl.
That's right. Congrats. It's not a bad matchup for purposes of the people who.
Yeah, but you know, Green Bay could win by one and we'd all be losers and the Bucks would be losers too, though, RJ.
Is that what you're calling? Bucks win, Bucks win.
Packers cover.
All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the AFC Championship game.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
All right, so the Bills and the Chiefs playing at 6:40 p.m. Eastern time, only on CBS. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, Tracy Wolfson, live from Arrowhead Stadium. RJ, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you, like, pinching yourself? Like, what, like, is it hard to believe that the Bills are knocking on the door of the Super Bowl? I mean, it didn't feel like that as quickly.
Yeah, if you'd asked me 2 years ago, it would have been hard to believe. But I actually listened to the Pick Six podcast, and I've heard somebody named Pete Prisco talk them up over the last couple of years. So I fully expected this coming into this year. So
you did not.
Pete, yeah, maybe, scale of 1 to 10.
Maybe not this high, but you know, maybe not conference championship with a legit chance to go to the Super Bowl. But yeah, I did expect him to be good this year.
Pete, are you a little, is part of you a little sad that you didn't pick the Bills to go to the Super Bowl?
Well, I picked them to be in this game though, to play the Chiefs.
Nobody cares about that.
Breach, well, I do.
Which is like, I picked the Packers to go to the NFC championship game in 2019. Like, nobody cares. It's a Super Bowl pick. That's all that matters.
Well, I don't have any reservations about not picking them. No, I thought they would be really good. I thought I thought
the Patriots would be better than they are.
No, I thought they'd win a division. I thought they'd win it easily. I just thought that they'd run into Mahomes in a buzzsaw in the championship game. And they're better than that. They're better than I thought they would be. I'll be honest with you. I thought they'd be really good. I thought next year would be the year where they might even be considered one of the favorites for the whole thing. But they're better than I thought they would be.
I heard Steve Tasker talking on the Around the NFL podcast the other day with my buddies Dan, Mark, Greg. And he was like, look, you know, Josh Allen, he's like, nobody saw this coming from Josh Allen. And like, he works in the building. Like, nobody saw this coming. Like, I think it was reasonable to expect him to take a step forward, even a leap. He took a mammoth leap forward and has been awesome in the playoffs. Kenny, when you start to look at this game, Bills at Chiefs -3, it looks like the Chiefs tweeted out right as we started this podcast that Mahomes, it was, you know, he's not even on the primary, like, he doesn't even look like he's a top too concerned about guys who are not playing. It feels like Mahomes is playing. Do you think that's baked into the line here?
Yeah, partially. I think when it's announced that he is playing for sure, you could see this go up to 4. I think it'll take a little bit of move up, but it's the total being 54. It's baked in. Yeah, Mahomes is playing, because if he's not playing, that total is not over 50. And I felt like the spread would be right around 3.5, 4. With Mahomes playing. See, I think it's already kind of baked in. I mean, 90% Mahomes right now, that line's showing.
Yeah.
Hey Will. Yes. Oh, by the way, Dr. Brady Quinn, medicine man, said he doesn't even think he had a concussion. He thought that, and really, when you look at it, where did he get hit in the head? But he missed one question when they, and I said this on the show yesterday. I said, you know what the question was? And they weren't sure how he would answer it. Were you okay when they sent the play call in for you to run with your bad foot? He said no, so they weren't sure, and that's why he failed the concussion protocol. That was one of the dumbest play calls I've ever seen in my life. Okay, Andy Reid deserves a ton of credit for being aggressive and being a great play caller, and they ran it earlier on the goal line. But you have your franchise quarterback with a bum foot, and you're running him in that situation? That's just stupidity. And if Andy Reid was sitting across from me, I'd tell him, I'd say, Andy, what the hell are you doing? Why would you do that? That's just dumb.
I don't disagree with you. It is somebody who had Damian Williams to score the first touchdown at 20-1 in that game. Especially after RJ talked me out of taking Patrick Mahomes at 13-1 on our
last. That was a bad bet because Damian Williams hasn't played all year.
What's that?
That was a bad bet because Damian Williams hasn't played all year.
Damian Williams is a bad bet?
He said Daryl Williams.
Daryl. Oh my God.
If Damian Williams scored, you should get a lot more. Your odds should be a lot better than that.
20-1 is awful.
I'll give you $1,000,000 that he won't score this week. How about that?
That's Damian Williams music. No, Damian opted out. His mother has an issue. He actually joined us on a Twitch stream for Fantasy Football Today earlier this year. But yeah, I had Daryl and they ran that option play. Like, have your guy pitch it. Mahomes doesn't need to, you know, Mahomes' legs have kind of unlocked a lot of this offense, especially last year in the playoffs. And you saw him gimping around before he even suffered the concussion. Like, he looked like his foot was a problem. That's almost more of a concern for me in this game than whether or not he'll play because of the concussion. I think he's...
But he hurt the foot after the first run. So you can almost excuse him for the first run, but then he hurt his foot and then he ran it again.
Yeah. Yeah. He did that again. He did that too against Denver last year when he got hurt. He blew up his kneecap. All right, anyway, the game is Chiefs -3, as Kenny mentioned. The over-under is 54. You can watch this on CBS, of course, and on CBS All Access. If you don't have CBS All Access, make sure and go get a subscription before this game. Maybe you live in New York. You know, your cable provider screws up. CBS gets knocked out. What do? You don't panic. You fire up All Access. We had you covered. Also get an HD antenna, but whatever. Pete, what do you like in this game?
I like a lot in this game. First off, I love this game. I am so excited to watch this game. I can't wait. I mean, you get two young guns with the big arms. It's the two youngest matching up in a championship game since Vince Ferragamo against Doug Williams. And you guys might be too young to remember that, but Kenny remembers it. I know he does. Vince Ferragamo. Remember, he came down from Canada and became the starting quarterback for the Rams and got him to the Super Bowl. But and what was the score of that game? I think it was 9-0, if I remember correctly. We've come a long way, baby. This is a high-scoring game. I think this is going to go up and down, up and down. You know, one thing about Buffalo, be who you are. I get concerned sometimes when these teams get big games and okay, well, maybe we'll run the ball to keep Mahomes off the field. No, be who you are. You don't run the ball. You throw it on all the downs. Just keep consistently playing that way, and you'll be okay. I think they will play well. I think they'll score a lot of points. I think Kansas City will score a lot of points. It's not going to be like the last time. The last time, you kind of got to throw that game out a little bit. Remember, that was the prepare for him on a Thursday. You're not going to play him on a Thursday. You're going to play on a Tuesday against Tennessee. You come back and play him on a Monday. You're kind of caught in the prep for both games, and they ran all over them. This time around, I don't think the Chiefs are going to fall into that trap and run all over them. They're going to throw it more. High-scoring game. I think it's going to get to 61-31-30. So my bet is Buffalo plus the points for 20. But I'm no, that's not what I have. I'm sorry. I have the Bills and KC over for 50, but I have the Bills and Packers in a teaser for 20. And I also have a $10 parlay Packers, Bills, and Bills KC over. So I'm loading up on the over in this game. I think it gets to 61-31-30, Kansas City.
Boo. Go with your heart. Take the Bills.
That's your heart.
You know what? I'm going to do it. Bills plus 3 -105. Oh! 21 to win 20. Wow. I think they win the game. I think they win the game. Wait till Mahomes is ruled in. Don't take it at the plus three. We have to lock our picks in now. We don't get the advantage of getting the best of the number, but, I'm completely in line with what Kenny said. I think it's going to go up to 3.5 at least. And I would have put it at 4 when Mahomes is ruled in and take the Bills there. I mean, throughout last week in terms of stats due to very windy conditions, Buffalo is still the number one team in weighted DVOA, well ahead of Kansas City, who ranks 22nd in DVOA on defense. Those two teams are even in net yards per pass attempt on offense. Buffalo's slightly better in that stat on defense. So if it is a passing game, and I do expect that, you know, you said, don't get cute and run the ball. Don't be not who you are. I mean, they didn't do that last week. They didn't call the design run until like, what, the end of the first half, maybe like 2 minutes left, something around there. So I think they're going to throw the ball. Buffalo's better on third down and in the red zone on both sides of the ball. So I love the Bills here. Bills plus three. I'm trying not to be, you know, rose colored glasses, but I do think they win. And, the flip side of that bet, highest scoring team, Kansas City lowest scoring team on Sunday, plus 340, $10 to win 34. They're the third of the four teams here, but out of the final four teams, they scored the fewest points on the year. They're 29.1 points per game. The others are 30 plus. You could say they rested starters in week 17, but they scored 21 in that game. They scored 17 the game before. It didn't really have a big effect on their point per game numbers by playing the backups in that game. Buffalo played their backups for a half too, and they scored 50 something in the week 17. So I think they're the worst of the four teams in the red zone as well. According to the stats, they could settle for one or two more field goals and make the difference here being the lower scoring team. So I think the other game has a better chance of being, you know, a 60 point game. This is one where Bills win by, you know, 4 or 7 and Kansas City stays in the 20s, I think.
Wow. I took three and a half with Buffalo, early, just thinking that if Mahomes doesn't play, I got a great number. This game opened pick, in the offshore world, the gray area, moved to Buffalo 1, back to pick. And then all of a sudden some Vegas books started open and they opened at 2.5. And man, there was 4 or 5 offshore books that put it up first. They were all at pick. They jumped. Everybody jumped to 2.5, and then to 3. And then there was 3.5. And I thought, I'm guessing Mahomes is going to play, but I'll take the 3.5 just to, if he doesn't play. Anyway, I do like it. I've continued to upgrade my ratings. You know, RJ just went through the DVOA ratings. Buffalo, by far the best team. They're playing the best of anybody right now. The current form, Buffalo is playing better than Kansas City. And I'm going to take the points with the Buffalo Bills going with this game. I do lean to the over a little bit. But again, I'm just going to put my money on Buffalo here, plus the 3, what we have on the show. And, that's my $50 play. And hey, I have to jump out here, guys. I got another show here in 5 minutes. Sorry about that. And I got 5 guys waiting for me to eat.
Oh, well, go get your,
wow. Look at you.
Whoa. The real story there is the guy out in Vegas is getting 5 guys and not In-N-Out.
Deliver. Oh, 5 guys are so much better than In-N-Out.
I agree. It's much better.
I agree. I agree with that one as well. And by the way, it's 1:45. Is that a late lunch? Is that what that is?
That's a late lunch. Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Go eat.
Thanks.
Bon appetit.
Good luck this weekend.
All right, Kenny. Brief pause there. It's a pregnant pause so Debo could reset the video when he goes. I do love that Kenny has mysterious, cheeseburgers and meetings planned.
At the same time.
Yeah.
So that leads me to believe that there wasn't a meeting. His food was getting cold.
And I think somebody was like, do you want this cheeseburger? It's cold. He's like, yes, I do.
Yeah. I got to go.
It's not an issue.
I got to go.
So whatever. And the StreamYard, we love this. I love it. It pops up and, you know, automatically readjusts. Or maybe Debo did that on the back end. Who the hell knows? Not my question to ask that. I don't know what I like in this game in terms of the side. I'm having a really hard time deciding who I think is going to win. I keep kind of gravitating towards Buffalo, but then I'm like, am I really going to bet against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes in an AFC title game? I mean, like, what? I mean, Sean McDermott's an Andy Reid disciple. Is he going to outcoach Andy Reid in this spot? Andy Reid didn't get outcoached much, and he's playing with not house money because he wants to win another Super Bowl, but he doesn't have the butt puckering Andy Reid playoff disasters that he used to. You saw him go for it on fourth down against the Browns. I feel like old Andy punts that, and he's just, you know, he's coaching open. My biggest concern is like, all right, Pete, let me ask you this. Brady mentioned it on earlier in the week, but like, do the Bills have the personnel potentially to slow down the Chiefs offense if Mahomes can't run? Like if Mahomes is limited at all, can they bracket Kelce, put Trey White on Tyreek Hill and minimize the damage here? Is that possible?
I don't think they're going to slow him down. I'm in the minority on that one. I think during this regular season, and RJ made good points about the points being down for Kansas City. I just think they kind of went through the motions to get to where they are now. And now it's time to crank it up. And they were going to crank it up last week until he got hurt. I'm sorry. They were getting ready to go. And I think they're going to score here. But yeah, no. Do they match up well with him? Yeah, look, the linebackers can run. That's important against Kelce. You know that. Tre'Davious White, I wouldn't leave him in man coverage on Hill. I mean, he's a good corner, but that's a whole different dynamic when you're playing Hill and man situations. So I'd be careful with that. But again, you got to be able to pressure the quarterback. Here's the teams that have played Mahomes well are the ones that make him patient. The Chargers make him patient, and they've played him well. If you go back over the last couple of years, he's not done great against them. He's put up decent numbers, not big, gaudy numbers. So if I'm the Bills, I'm playing my too high shell, and I'm going to say, go ahead, be patient. And if you're going to be patient, fine. We might get a sack, turnover in that situation, but make them take the plays that are there. So, yeah, do they match up well with them? They have the athletes to run at linebacker with Milano and Edmonds with them. And the two safeties are really good players. Those guys are keys to that defense. They were great last week and coming up, and they can play off as well.
They were the first kind of pieces of that defense. They shelled out that money a few years ago when they first got there, and they said, this is what we need to build around. And they've proven to be worth all that money, you know, when they brought them in because, yeah, they have been playing well, both of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's just something in the back of my mind that says, like, Buffalo's going to pull this off. But they're a little public. Like, everybody's kind of on the Bills and ready to fade the Chiefs. And I think, I mean, do you really think the Bills are better, RJ? Is this I'm going with my heart? It's close enough, so my heart's going to be the tiebreaker here.
I think the Bills are playing better right now. I think their defense is playing a little bit better. And I think the offense is just, you know, pretty close to unstoppable. I mean, I worry about them not having a run game, but you don't really need one in this day and age. You know, the Chiefs made it work with kind of nobody at running back the last couple of years too. You know, no huge names there. So yeah, I think that they're better right now. I think the coaching staff is there. I know Andy Reid is probably the best coach in the league, but is Sean McDermott's in that top five as well. The assistants up and down the board, those guys should have got, hired for head coaching jobs, and maybe Leslie Frazier will, but I mean, it's still a great staff all up and down. Diggs really unlocked that offense, bringing him in as the number one option. They got depth everywhere. Offensive line's playing well. I mean, I don't know where you're dinging the Bills really to say that they're definitely worse than the Chiefs in some place, and they scored more than the Chiefs all year.
The only place you ding them, and they've been better at it, is in the run defense. But this, if the Chiefs, and I said this to Brady Quinn the other day, I said, if the Chiefs are coming in the game, they're going to run, you've defeated them already. Ideally, go ahead. If that's what you want to do, have at it. I'd much rather have you run the ball than have Mahomes go back and sling it around.
I'll say this. I think the one sort of script where I think the run thing can actually work is where the Chiefs get the ball first. They 10 play, 9, 8, 9, 10 play drive down the field, feeding Edwards-Helaire out of shotgun. He's picking up chunk yardage in the run game. They're hitting Kelce, converting third downs. Tyreek's scaring them deep, but they're not taking the shots. They get down, they score a touchdown. The Bills have had a bunch of three and outs early this postseason against the Colts and the Ravens. So like, you get a three and out from the Bills. I'm not saying it definitely happens, just in this scenario. And then the Chiefs strike again, and suddenly it's 14-0, and Josh Allen is, and it's like late in the first, early second quarter. There's a ton of clock that's already been used off, and Josh Allen is sort of feeling the pressure on this stage in Arrowhead. You know, there's a big enough crowd. I mean, it made an impact in a bunch of these games in Green Bay and Kansas City and certainly Buffalo, these loud, drunk Midwestern nut jobs or upper New York nut jobs. And like Josh Allen starts to press. I think that's kind of the scenario where it could get ugly for Buffalo. But even then, like I would want to be back in Buffalo live plus 10 because I think they're so explosive offensively. They're going to come back. And I don't know. I'm just kind of walking through scenarios in my head.
Yeah, but I think you get to go quick to Hill for 23, hit Kelce for 16, then go over the top and hit, somebody else for 50 and a touchdown. Next thing you know, or whatever it is, 40, you look up and you go, oh my God, here they come all day long. I think that's even more tough to handle if you're the Bills. Cause then you take the field saying, uh-oh, we got to score every single possession. That puts more pressure on you. So I think they're both going to throw it around.
I think the Bills walk into these games now thinking they are going to score every time out. That's just how good the offense has been. And I don't think Allen's going to feel that pressure. I just don't think he's the kind of guy that's inside his own head. I think he just goes out and plays his game. And I don't see him, you know, thinking about seeing ghosts like Sam Darnold did that one day. I think he's just going to go out there, play, do what he can, and shut it down and let his talent take over.
I'm really surprised that RJ didn't pick the Chiefs here, because it would have been a double winner for him.
Yeah.
If the Chiefs win, I mean, if the Bills win, but you had the Chiefs, then you're happy either way. You're going to be happy both ways. This way, you won't be happy if the Bills don't win and cover.
It's completely irrelevant. The happiness that I feel if the Bills win this game is nowhere near the happiness I feel if I get a pick right. It's completely different.
You'd rather have the Bills win no matter what. This is the Bills.
It's completely inconsequential to my thinking. You know, I'm not going to have an emotional hedge because the emotions are so, you know.
I know. I'm just messing stacked, with you.
You know, over on the other side.
It's a great story if Buffalo gets there. It's a great story.
Yes.
It really is. It's a fantastic story. It's a quarterback that took abuse after abuse after more abuse getting to the Super Bowl. And Sean McDermott's done a great job with
that
team.
Twitter cult.
What'd you say? Yeah, from your Twitter cult buddies, Brinson.
All right, so my picks for this, I actually think it's going to start out slow. I think both of these games are good live betting games where you can get sort of more methodical, again, scripted offenses, as Buffalo and Kansas City does it well. I'm not saying that they won't score early. I just think you'll see these drives built out the way they want them to, and they'll have shot plays in there. But I think there's an option to live bet the over at like midway through or at the end of the first quarter, depending how many points there are. So I would be on the lookout for that. I do think we could see both games end up in the 60s easily, but I'm going to take the first half under in Buffalo and Kansas City. And that first half total is, cause I had it and I lost it. First half total under 26.5. I'm going to do that for $20. And I'm also going to do, I think I have $20 left. I'm going to put whatever I have left on a, Packers Chiefs money line parlay. Pays out +155. I think the favorite's going to win this game. Two best teams in football pretty much all year. I think they pull it off. Sorry, RJ.
Yeah, it's funny because you always like to have the narrative and the hot take. You like to base some of your picks on whatever. If everybody likes something, you don't like it. You like the other side. There's no like analysis involved. You're just like, yeah, they like it. I don't like the other side.
I've done all the analysis in my head. Like, I think the Bills are, I told you, I don't know who's going to win this game. And I think.
But what are you saying, RJ, that he makes picks and picks division winners for clickbait?
My point was that it's funny that now he comes and he takes the two home teams.
Right.
In the
clickbait. Willie clickbait.
The most likely to happen is that's his parlay. So. That was my point.
What's wrong with that?
I'm just saying it's a departure from what you usually do. You're always like, oh, you want to be the guy that's ahead of the game. And if everybody's on a pick, then you switch it to the other one because you want to be ahead
of the game.
This time you're just like, you're just like, both the home teams, money line probably.
I'm just going to back Rodgers and Mahomes. And
nothing wrong with it. It could win if you like the value of +155, then sure, you know, take it.
I mean, look.
I just said it's different from what you usually do.
If it's Bills, Bucks, in Tampa in two weeks, I won't be surprised at all. I think both of these games very much can, I don't, you know, this isn't to me Green Bay, San Francisco last year where I felt very confident that Green Bay was going to get steamrolled just because of the matchup with San Francisco. I think this is a game where there's football. There's going to be weird things that happen in this game, like a D Ford offsides, you know, is going to cause one of these teams to advance to the Super Bowl, like it was a few years ago. Here is the recap.
Wait, I got a little bit more. Actually, two more bets for you. Because we can't do player props because the player props aren't out. We don't know about Mahomes. They haven't posted, but we can do first touchdown, last touchdown props. I got $2 left over. I'm sure people are doing the math. They got their notepads out, writing down all my picks, and they're like, wait a minute. He's only bet $98. He has $2 left over. I'm going to bet $1 on Josh Allen to get the first touchdown in the game, running it in, +900. I'm going to bet $1 on Josh Allen to get the last touchdown in the game, +900. All I needed one of those to hit for my $2 bet total to get to $9. And I was thinking about, do I want to do this or not? Then I heard Ryan Wilson on the Bold Predictions podcast decide to predict something that's never happened before. Quarterback at 6 touchdowns in the game, including 2 rushing touchdowns. I said, sure, let's split them up, make them the first and last touchdowns, and Josh Allen can win both these bets. So give me that for $2. If he gets the first or last touchdown, I'm going to hit 9. If he somehow gets both, I get 18 bucks there.
I don't hate it. Don't hate it at all. Le'Veon Bell, limited practice, don't use him. I think there's a little bit of value, Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Daryl Williams. Maybe even Daryl there at 14-1. You know, they were doing that even with Clyde Edwards-Helaire in. They were giving Daryl the goal line carries, I feel like, before they signed Le'Veon. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he gets the Chiefs goal line carries down there. Mahomes is 16-1. I don't think Andy Reid will run him, but
I don't think so. By the way, I don't want to play producer here, but let's wrap it up.
Okay, let's get out of here. We'll do a pregame with RJ and Larry Hartstein. You can check that out as well. Pete has to go to the proctologist. I don't know what you got going on this afternoon.
I got a radio interview I got to do.
Yeah, with who?
Huh? Jacksonville.
Oh, tell Urban we said hey. Pete's got the KC Bills over for 50 bucks. The Bills Packers teaser for 20. Packers minus 3 for 20. Packers and the Bills Chiefs over parlay for $10. That's just the over plus the Packers money line.
No, it's Packers minus 3. Chiefs, Bills over, and the Bills. It's a three teamer.
Okay. Plus the Bills. All right. There's some confusion there. We'll edit that up. And then RJ has Green Bay minus 3 for 20. Tampa Bay, Green Bay over 51 for 20. Green Bay highest scoring team on Sunday, 20 to win 42. Buffalo plus 3 for 20. KC lowest scoring team on Sunday, 10 to win 34. Josh Allen first TD, $1 to win $9. And Josh Allen last TD, $1 to win $9. Kenny, keep it simple, stupid. 2 bets. Packers minus 3, 50 bucks. Bills plus 3 for 50 bucks.
I think Kenny got bored with the format.
Yeah, he's trying to like get cute. He's like, nah.
No, enough of that. 50-50.
Yeah. I got the Packers minus 3 for 20. The Packers first quarter minus a half for 10. Packers team total over 27.5 for 10. Devontae Adams first touchdown, 10 to win 55. Aaron Rodgers over 2.5 pass touchdowns, 10 to win 15. Bills Chiefs first half under 26.5, 20 on that. And then I think I've got 10 left. If not, whatever's left. Packers Chiefs money line.
It's on your rundown. Take a look at it. You got the numbers typed out right there.
You came in prepared. What I have left. You should know.
$20 left.
Yeah, he has no idea. He has no idea.
All on the rundown.
It's not on the rundown. One day Debo's going to take the rundown, make a copy of it, and show it to the people out there and show how you're not prepared and everybody else is.
Nobody who listens to this podcast thinks I'm prepared. That's the show.
Nobody on the podcast with you thinks you're prepared either.
Good job, Vincent.
I beat you. All right, that's the show. Thanks for watching. We'll be back on Sunday afternoon, hour before the first kickoff on Twitch and YouTube. To preview it, Pete, RJ, thanks for hanging out. For Kenny, I'm Will. See you guys later.
See ya.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.